This is John Lothian with a daily update of commentary and stories from the First Read section of the John Lothian newsletter for October 11, 2021. This podcast is sponsored by our friends at Eurex. Visit Eurex.com to learn more about trading MSCI derivatives. We lead off JLN today with the comments and stories from the hits and takes section. Mary Childs and Amanda Aronchek of NPR interviewed American Financial Exchange CEO Richard Sandor on Planet Monday on a podcast titled LIBOR Pains. You can listen to it with a link in today's newsletter. Hong Kong Exchange displays a great understanding of the importance of nurturing human potential with their Hong Kong Exchange Mosaic Network. It is an expression of their creating a culture in which everyone feels empowered. Hong Kong Exchange Mosaic is their new Hong Kong Exchange network that celebrates everyone's abilities. By empowering their colleagues to bring their whole selves to work, Hong Kong Exchange leverages individuals' unique abilities, helping them to deliver the excellence and create a healthy, fun, and collaborative workplace. Tori Colley, Group Chief Communications Officer and sponsor of Hong Kong Exchange Mosaic, had this to say: Mosaic is our network for people with different abilities, for those supporting family and friends with disability, and for supporting good mental health. We want to celebrate each person's uniqueness and the contribution they make to our community. OCC gave a shout out on LinkedIn to some of its new hires, which is a nice way to publicly welcome them to the organization. The new hires are Daniel Fernandez, Abhishek Nagpal, Derek Backer, Zephania M., Amanda Gliczewski, Lena Wen, Jason Todorovsky, Arwa Madhawala, Katie Luther, Say Asrita K., and Hector Rubalcava. Frankfurt 2022 Derivatives Forum will take place on March 29th to 30th. The conference is focused on trading and clearing for derivatives and security financing across asset classes. More information is available with a link in today's newsletter. David M. Solomon is starting his fourth year as chairman and CEO of Goldman Sachs. Has it been that long already? Congratulations to JLN alumni Doug Ashburn, who's been promoted to Vice President for Editorial Content at T3 Custom. Doug is a JLN success story who joined us after completing an MBA at the Stewart School of Business at Illinois Tech and a 20-year trading career on the floor of the CME in currency options to lead the effort developing Markets Reform Wiki. He went on to develop skills in video and audio production and business development for JLN. Congratulations, Doug. Robbins Wigglesworth, a global finance correspondent with the Financial Times, has his first book coming out this week titled Trillions. In the book, he looks at the history of passive investing from the early days that created the first generation of index funds up until now, with titanic multi-trillion dollar investment empires. You can pre-order the book online via a link in today's newsletter. Speaking of books, the Washington Post has an article titled How JFK Used James Bond to Fight the Cold War that tells how Jack Kennedy was given a copy of Ian Fleming's Casino Royale, the first of the 007 novels, by a friend while he was in the hospital recovering from back surgery. That started his love of James Bond. There were no new donations to the JLN Markets Wiki Education GoFundMe campaign. The STA 2021 conference held in Washington last week covered an array of market structure and regulation topics facing the equity markets, and on Thursday it addressed challenges to equity standards stemming from competition from digital asset investment. In one panel with Greg Tussar, Vice President of Institutional Products for Coinbase, and Tom Chippas, CEO of ErisX, Tussar said it was not until last year that he saw a surge of interest in digital assets from institutions. Looking to the distant forward of the world of crypto will look very different from equities, Tussar said. With decentralized applications, the general direction of travel. Crypto trading is inherently very different from that of equities, Chippas said. You can have millions of trades take place on a decentralized exchange without settlement, and that's normal. And the notion of trading 24/7 now discussed by by equity market participants is already taking place. Tusar said, when something happens in crypto, it's over months, not years. The challenge is knowing what to bring along and what to leave behind. Dr. Anthony Fauci, director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases and the chief medical advisor to the president, said over the past weekend that it is okay for kids to go trick-or-treating this year, particularly if vaccinated. Since it's mainly an outdoor activity, he thinks the risk is low. So put on that Squid Game costume, seems to be the popular one this year, and go get some candy or steal some from your kids' goodie bag. Here are more stories from the first read section of today's JLN. The spread. Most equity markets track higher, undaunted by debt ceiling debate. Jobs report a fresh take on the term of the week. Stocks up, put options dominate amid roller coaster moves. An all-new look at the term of the week with Alex Perry. You can watch the spread with a link in today's newsletter. Here's a story from the Wall Street Journal. Can your career help change the world? You have 80,000 hours to try. Many of us want jobs that contribute to the social good. Effective altruists say some lines of work benefit humanity more than others, and those positions might surprise you. Most of us hope our jobs make a positive difference in the world. It's one reason companies have infused their mission statements with lofty goals of improving lives and talk of broader purpose in recent years. Some workers aren't leaving that to chance, using an evidence-based approach to pursue careers they believe will provide the maximum benefit to humanity. My comment, you can help change the world by just waking up every morning. Start there. Here's a press release from Citadel. Citadel and Citadel Securities partner with Thrive Scholars to unlock opportunities for high-achieving students of color from low-income communities. Citadel and Citadel Securities have partnered with Thrive Scholars to provide high-achieving students of color from low-income communities with support to succeed at top colleges and in developing meaningful careers. By working with Thrive, Citadel and Citadel Securities will open opportunities to students with an interest in STEM and finance and invest in increasing industry diversity over time. My comment, Ken Griffin is a big part of the Chicago charitable community. I hope Citadel will not relocate its operations as he suggested they might. Here's another story from the Wall Street Journal. Severe drought adds to Afghanistan's woes, endangering millions as economy collapses. Farmers who survived two decades of war abandon land as water sources dry up. Afghan farmer Niamatullah survived nearly two decades of conflict, growing beans, wheat, and corn in the Helmand province as war raged around him. When he finally decided to uproot his family and flee last month, it was because of weather. One of the worst droughts in decades in Afghanistan parched the fields of the 38-year-old who goes by a single name, leaving his crops withered and worthless. He felt he had no choice but to pack up his 15-member extended family into a rented truck and head out to search for day labor somewhere less desperate. "Our children are crying because there's nothing to eat," he said. Afghanistan is so complicated, but people starving is not. Forget the politics. They need help, and we should all help. Here's a story from Bloomberg News. Five traders tell us how to survive a world of disrupted markets. Trading requires constant vigilance and the ability to adapt and profit from disruptions. But what happens when the act of trading itself is disrupted? To get a glimpse of the life of a trader in 2021, Bloomberg Markets asked five reporters, Justina Lee in London, Divna Balji in Toronto, Liz Capo McCormick and Sonali Basak in New York, and Rebecca Chun Wilkins in Hong Kong, to interview traders. They quizzed them about how they got into the business, what their typical day is like, how their market and investing strategy is changing, and what advice they'd give to budding traders. All are grappling with the COVID-19 pandemic, the rise of new asset classes and technologies, the unprecedented unprecedented flood of money from the world's central banks, and the age-old challenge of keeping their emotions in check. The interviews, conducted in late August and early September, have been edited and condensed for clarity. My comment, are these the five guys who started a burger chain? Here are the top three stories from Friday's JLN. Our top story Friday was Clearing Will Determine If Brexit Self-Harm Goes Both Ways from the Financial Times. Second was CFTC Expanding Anti-Manipulation Powers to Punish Misrepresentations to Futures Exchanges and FCMs from JD Supra. Third was JLN's SEC Commissioner Alan Harrison Lee addresses payment for order flow, retail trading, and crypto at STA conference. This is John Lothian with a daily update of commentary and stories from the First Read section of the John Lothian newsletter for October 12th, 2021. This podcast is sponsored by our friends at Eurex. Visit Eurex.com to learn more about trading MSCI derivatives. We lead off JLN today with the comments and stories from the hits and takes section. The Becker-Friedman Institute at the University of Chicago is holding a virtual seminar titled Capital Market Development, China and Asia Seminar Series, Understanding Retail Investors, Evidence from China. The seminar is on October 13th, 2021 from 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. Central Time. Find more information with a link in today's newsletter. CME Group is also holding an online event on Wednesday, October 13th, this one titled The Benefits of Micro Futures in Portfolio Management. The event will be at 10:30 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. Central Time. More details are available with the link in today's newsletter. Rosenblatt continues to invest in their research-driven platform and has several positions open for senior analyst roles in the tech space. You can see these jobs and more with a link in today's newsletter. John McKinley has moved to the OCC as executive principal and associate general counsel. Previously, he was director and assistant general counsel at the CME Group. There were no new donations to the JLN MarketsWiki Education GoFundMe campaign yesterday. Morningstar has reviewed U.S. equity market performance by sector during the rocky month of September with some interesting results. According to Morningstar's index calculations, U.S. large mid-broad growth index fell 5.9% in September, although growth stocks led value stocks for the first three quarters of the year. Small cap value is the best performing corner of the market in 2021 so far, the company found, with the Morningstar U.S. Small Cap Broad Value Extended Index up 23% year to date through September 30th. High tech large cap companies, which hold top weightings in Morningstar's broad growth index, led the market lower in September, with Microsoft, Facebook, and Alphabet all posting losses for the month. Additional analysis can be found with a link in today's newsletter. Here are more stories from the First Read section of today's JLN. From the New York Times, past pandemics remind us COVID will be an era, not a crisis that fades. The skeletons move across a barren landscape towards the few helpless and terrified people still living. The scene, imagined in a 16th century painting, The Triumph of Death by Peter Bruegel the Elder, illuminated the psychic impact of the bubonic plague. It was a terror that lingered even as the disease receded, historians say. My comment, I have lived through many eras, including the bell-bottom era and the earth-shoe era. The latter was very difficult as I grew 10 inches in 18 months during that era. I survived the previous eras and plan on surviving this one too. Here's a story from Quartz. Everything you need to know about DeFi. The term decentralized finance, or DeFi, goes back to a Telegram chat in 2018. That's when a group of software developers and entrepreneurs were trying to decide what to call their movement of new breed financial services that would be automated, built on a blockchain, and capable of stripping out traditional banks. My comment, I learned everything I needed to know about DeFiing from a three-year-old. Here's a story from Bloomberg. Avocado glut swamps Australia and prices are plunging. Drop in demand comes amid record avocado crop in Australia. Markets like Hong Kong, Japan, Singapore soak up some supply. Australia is swimming in avocados thanks to bumper crop harvests and months of stay-at-home orders that have kept people away from cafe brunches. Once considered a symbol of lavishness on the brunch menu, avocado prices in Australia more than halved from around $3 Australian or $2.21 US, a price to around $1 Australian this year, a trend that is set to stay. My comment, if there were avocado futures, they would trade in a pit in Chicago and they would be a great spread market. Here are the top three stories from Monday's JLN. Our top story Monday was traders at banks fear missing out on the crypto party from the Financial Times. Second was five traders tell us how to survive a world of disrupted markets from Bloomberg News. Third was Rohit Chopra is going to rock the financial world from the Financial Times. Rohit Chopra was also our Markets Wiki page of the day. This is John Lothian with a daily update of commentary and stories from the first read section of the John Lothian newsletter for October 13th, 2021. This podcast is sponsored by our friends at Eurex. Visit Eurex.com to learn more about trading MSCI derivatives. We lead off JLN today with the story from John Lothian. That's me. SGX looks to expand A50, grow China-centric risk management business. Switch from MSCI to FTSE Russell offers powerful network lessons. SGX learned much from the experience a year ago when their equity index product switched from MSCI to FTSE Russell. Those lessons are being utilized as they contemplate growing their equity index offerings by increasing the number of stocks in the A50. The growing importance of China in global investors' portfolios is driving this potential change. Michael Sin of SGX said in an interview with JLN over WebEx, Sin is the head of equities at Singapore Exchange and serves as CEO of the stock market, depository, and futures market. SGX signed a strategic agreement with FTSE Russell in August of 2020 to develop multi-asset solutions in everything from equities to foreign exchange, commodities, fixed income, and ESG. Its previous deal with MSCI, which expired in February of this year, focused just on equities. SGX retained its license with MSCI for the MSCI Singapore Equity Index Futures and Options. To read the rest of this commentary, go to johnlothiannews.com. Here's a story from Renato Mariotti and Holly Campbell. Analysis: what can we learn from the DOJ's latest spoofing conviction? I don't know how to game this stuff, is a quote. One can definitely manipulate if you're aggressive, is another quote. If you spoof this, it really moves, is another quote. These excerpts from online chats among traders and hedge fund managers more than a decade ago played a key role in the Justice Department's successful prosecution of two Wall Street traders in the latest trial to take on spoofing, a form of market manipulation that was criminalized in the 2010 Dodd-Frank Act. On August 5th, 2021, a federal jury in the Northern District of Illinois convicted Edward Basis and John Pasillo of 18 counts of conspiracy, wire fraud, and commodities fraud for pushing market prices of precious metals futures contracts by routinely placing large spoof orders that they did not intend to fill. Interestingly enough, spoofing was one of the two counts where the defendants were found not guilty. What happened in this case, and what can we learn from the result? Well, you're going to have to read the rest of this commentary on johnlothiannews.com. Here are the comments and stories from the hits and takes section of JLN. Let's talk about climate risk and how to solve it. Larry Fink, chairman and CEO of BlackRock, has a commentary in the New York Times titled, "Rich countries must bear the cost if we can ever hope to achieve a net zero world." Also, the Financial Markets Group at the Chicago Federal Reserve has published their latest podcast, and it's titled, "Can Global Financial Markets Manage Climate Risk?" The latest video from Tradier's Options Brew TV channel on YouTube is titled Managing Portfolio Tail Risk with Out-of-the-Money Call and Put Options. We can all use a little better tail risk management. Volatility is a thing in September, as MIAX reported their spikes futures contract set a volume record and daily volume record during the month. The New York Post has a story that a record 4.3 million people quit their jobs in September. I guess quitting your job is getting to be a thing. The good news is that many people are finding better jobs for their lifestyles and making more money, which is good for the economy. Reminder, CBOE Options Institute hosts a free 75-minute webinar on portfolio risk reduction and VIX futures today at 12 p.m. Eastern Time. Ben Eifert, Managing Director of the CAIA Association, and Keith Black, CIO of QVR Advisors, are slated to join CBOE's Matt Moran for this session. Registration information is available in today's newsletter. Here are some more stories from the First Read section of today's JLN. Here's a press release from the CME. CME Group International average daily volume reaches 5 million contracts in the third quarter of 2021, up 13% from the third quarter of 2020. CME Group, the world's largest and most diverse derivatives marketplace, today announced that its international average daily volume reached 5 million contracts in the third quarter of 2021, up 13% year-on-year. Reflecting all trading done outside the United States, volume increases were driven by global growth in interest rate and energy products, up 54% and 31% respectively. My comment, volume is up and there are lots of smiling faces behind those masks. Here's a story from Bloomberg. Women in finance are turning to online poker to boost their career. In the long line of services promising to help women improve their lot at work, an entrant from a billionaire investor is attracting thousands of female financial professionals from around the world. Poker Power is a dozen-course program created by longtime trader Jenny Just that uses the card game to teach risk-taking and negotiation techniques. Lessons taught by seasoned players start with skills such as how to read opponents and when to fold. My comment, a good poker game always starts with an ante. Here's a press release from... Here's the podcast from the Federal Reserve Bank of Chicago. Can global markets manage climate risk? New episode, our LaSalle Street podcast, explores the emerging challenges of climate change risk with the co-directors of the Volatility and Risk Institute at the New York University Stern School of Business, Robert Engel, recipient of the 2003 Nobel Prize in Economics, and Richard Berner, who served as the first director of the Office of Financial Research. Our own Alessandro Coco hosts the episode. You can listen with a link in today's newsletter. My comment, where there is risk, we can only try to manage it. Market-based solutions for managing that risk is the best way most of the time. Here are the top three stories from Tuesday's JLN. Our top story Tuesday was what the future may hold for the coronavirus and us from the New York Times. Second was everything you need to know about DeFi from Quartz. Third was another coronavirus story from the New York Times. Past pandemics remind us COVID will be an era, not a crisis that fades, illustrated with The Triumph of Death by Peter Bruegel the Elder. This is John Lothian with a daily update of commentary and stories from the First Read section of the John Lothian newsletter for October 14th, 2021. This podcast is sponsored by our friends at Eurex. Visit Eurex.com to learn more about trading MSCI derivatives. We lead off JLN today with the comments and stories from the hits and takes section. FTX announced a global partnership with the International Cricket Council that leaves the International Turtle Racing League as the only sport with whom they have not done a sponsorship deal. IMC is looking for a graduate quant trader for a full-time position in Chicago. There's a link in today's newsletter with more information. There was good news about travel yesterday. The City of London will resume all hours metro rides in late November, meaning night tube service will resume on the Central and Victoria lines on November 27th. Pubs and clubs will be happy. Also, the U.S. will reopen its borders for non-essential travel next month to fully vaccinated people. There were no new donations to the JLN Markets Wiki Education GoFundMe campaign yesterday. Women in Listed Derivatives is currently accepting applications from members for the Wild Board of Directors. The application process will close on November 8th. The group is looking for board member candidates who believe in its mission to highlight and learn from industry role models, encourage career development, and support the advancement of women in listed and over-counter derivatives, and are willing to be active in governance roles. You can email Penny Coppleston at board@womeninlistedderivatives.com to request a board of directors application form. The small exchange says volume in its cryptocurrency stock index futures, which launched October 4th, is now averaging about 630 contracts per day, with notional traded averaging about 2.4 million. Open interest in the SCCX futures was just over 300 contracts as of October 12th, a spokeswoman for the exchange says. And the number of accounts that have traded the product is up from 100 at launch to more than 1,000. The contract is based on the Small Cryptocurrency Equity Index, which measures the performance of an index of 17 securities with high correlations to crypto assets like Bitcoin and Ethereum. Here are more stories from the first read section of today's JLN. From Acuity, Ross Lancaster joins Acuity as head of research. Former Global Capital Derivatives editor Ross Lancaster has joined Acuity in the role of head of research. Ross joins from Refinitiv, title IFR, where he covered structured finance. Ross is the second hire in as many months for Acuity, following the employment of Alice Christensen as network manager. My comment, Acuity continues to impress. Here's a story from the Wall Street Journal. Bitcoin fans flock to futures market. Premium on Bitcoin futures has doubled this month as investors wager that the SEC will approve the first futures-based Bitcoin ETF. Investors are betting that the first U.S.-listed Bitcoin exchange-traded fund is about to get the go-ahead. Securities regulators could rule as early as next week on as many as four applications for ETFs that will buy Bitcoin futures contracts rather than the cryptocurrency itself. Over the next 2 weeks, the Securities and Exchange Commission may either approve, reject, or delay the proposals ProShares, Valkyrie Investments, Invesco, and Van Eck submitted in August. My comment, futures rule. Here's another story from the Wall Street Journal. A winter of giant gas bills is coming. Are you ready? U.S. households are projected to spend more on heating than they have in several years. Americans got a stark warning from the government this week. Expect higher heating bills this winter. According to the Energy Information Administration, nearly half of the U.S. households that warm their homes with mainly natural gas can expect to spend an average of 30% more on their bills compared with last year. The agency added that bills would be 50% higher if the winter is 10% colder than average, and 22% higher if the winter is 10% warmer than average. My comment, winter is coming. Where have I heard that before? Here are the top three stories from Wednesday's JLN. Our top story Wednesday was JLN's analysis, What Can We Learn from the DOJ's Latest Spoofing Conviction? A guest column written by Renato Mariotti and Holly Campbell of Thompson Colburn White Collar Defense and Investigations Group. Second was John Lothian's commentary in JLN, SGX looks to expand A50, grow China-centric risk management business. Third was Everything You Need to Know About DeFi from Quartz, which was number two on Tuesday. This is John Lothian with a daily update of commentary and stories from the first read section of the John Lothian newsletter for October 15th, 2021. This podcast is sponsored by our friends at Eurex, Visit Eurex.com to learn more about trading MSCI derivatives. We lead off JLN today with these two stories from JLN. Morningstar scaling up against industry dominators. From John Lothian, that's me. Chicago index firm sees growth in ESG and delivering value to clients. The index business is dominated by three big companies, Dow Jones Indices, FTSE Russell, and MSCI. But there is a Chicago index company that has big plans to advance and scale up its business to bring more value to index clients and leave more money in the pockets of investors. Former FTSE Russell executive and now Morningstar Index Managing Director Ron Bundy is charged with the evolution and growth of Morningstar Indices. Morningstar has been in the index business for about 20 years, Bundy said, who joined the firm in December of 2019. Bundy said Morningstar is leveraging its well-respected research capabilities to develop investable products like ETFs and mutual funds. Bundy's plan is to bring Morningstar's already immense index capabilities to scale to be able to offer a full suite of beta benchmarks. He wants to scale Morningstar's intellectual property and bring exceptional value to customers. Already, Bundy says, Morningstar is one of the fastest-growing index firms in the world. To read the rest of this story, go to johnlothiannews.com. Here is a story from Suzanne Cosgrove of John Lothian News. CME Clearing Project seeks sustainable solutions. Investor interest in sustainable investments is expanding rapidly. A survey of 179 global asset owners published by FTSE Russell on October 7th found that more than 84% are implementing or evaluating sustainable investments in 2021, up from 53% in 2018. But with uniform criteria of those investments, green attributes, a work in progress, CME Group has jumped into the fray with its sustainable clearing project. CME Group's Owen Johnson, Global Head of Research for the Exchange Operator, says the Sustainable Clearing Project, launched on September 27th, is a solution to a problem futures commission merchants increasingly face as governments and corporate clients tighten up their regulations around ESG, environmental, social, and governance investments. To read the rest of the story, go to johnlothiannews.com. Here are the comments and stories from the hits and takes section of today's JLN. Verena Ross has been confirmed by the Council of the European Union as the chair of ESMA, the European and Securities Market Authority. Congratulations to Ms. Ross on her confirmation. The World Federation of Exchanges has issued a call for papers for the WFE's Clearing and Derivatives Conference 2022. The WFE's 39th Annual Clearing and Derivatives Conference, hosted by the Malta Stock Exchange, is to be held in Valletta, Malta on April 27th and 29th, 2022. CFTC Commissioner Dawn Stump will participate in a panel at a New York Law School virtual event on Monday, October 18th at 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. Euronext Paris CEO Delphine de Amarzit and Euronext Amsterdam CEO Simone Huys Int Veld have been named to the Financial News list of the 100 most influential women in European finance. Congratulations to them and Euronext for this honor. James Brown of Source 360 LTD Limited, and formerly of Deutsche Börse, Eurex, and NYSE Euronext, is walking 100 miles in a charity walk along the Grand Union Canal from Tring to Birmingham from October 14th to 17th in remembrance of his friends Graham Threader and Amelia Roberts. Graham Threader passed in July of 2018 from leukemia. Amelia Roberts suffered a fatal seizure called sudden unexpected death from epilepsy, SUDEP. The charities Brown and his group of 50-something aged friends are supporting are the UCLH Hematology Cancer Care and the Epilepsy Society. You can learn more and donate with a link in today's newsletter. The FT has published an independently recommended and externally produced review of FT correspondent Robin Wigglesworth's book Trillions, titled Trillions by Robin Wigglesworth. Tracking the Index Fund, the story of how a low-cost means of investment democratized finance and perhaps even changed capitalism. A Wild representative reported to JLN that Wild received several applications to be board members after yesterday's mention by Sarah Rudolph here in JLN and in JLN Options. There were no new donations to the JLN Markets Wiki Education GoFundMe campaign yesterday. Here are more stories from the First Read section of today's JLN. From MarketWatch, the Reddit crowd has found a new tactic in the war against Wall Street, cutting brokers out altogether. When the music stops, there aren't enough shares to go around. Retail investors are trying to stop the music. A percolating theme among retail investors came to a boil on Thursday, and some meme stocks ended the day simmering. Since being knocked out of January's short squeeze by online brokers trying to avoid margin calls, retail investors have been seeking alternatives to their multi-front war on short-selling hedge funds. And after months of research, they appear to have found it, cutting the brokers out altogether. My comment, yes, you can hold your stock at the firm where the stock is held, but you can't trade it efficiently or when you want. But there are advantages to direct registration at long-term stockholders. Here's a story from Bloomberg. Charting the trust deficit in leaders and institutions. We're increasingly skeptical of many people and places providing our information, according to new research from Edelman. Since 2012, Edelman, a Chicago-based public relations company, has been asking people around the world whom they trust and whom they don't. The results from Edelman's latest trust barometer show more things in the latter category than the former. Faith in media is at an all-time low. Trust in companies has declined across all sectors, falling furthest in technology, fashion, and automotive, as well as among all types of societal leaders, especially scientists and community figures. Scientists do remain among the most trusted leaders, with 73% of the survey's 33,000 respondents expressing confidence in them, whereas government leaders are the least trusted authorities at only 41%. Here's a closer look at the survey's findings. My comment, evidently we have used up the trust surplus and have a deficit in trust. Here's a story from Bloomberg. How Donald Trump, Elon Musk, and Gwyneth Paltrow short-circuit your ability to think rationally. The sketchy rhetorical tricks of politicians, celebs, and con men, and how they work. If a version of this message sounds familiar, it's because it contains some of the most common techniques deployed by authoritarians, con men, bosses, and questionable cultural figures swirling around us. Donald Trump, Turkey's Recep Tayyip Erdogan, even Barstool Sports' Dave Portnoy, Elon Musk, and Gwyneth Paltrow have inadvertently used some of these methods, respectively prejudice, scare tactics, and faux intimacy. My comment, interesting story about the power of propaganda and how some people use it. Well worth the read. Here's another story from Bloomberg. What my brain scan revealed about the science of persuasion. Neuroscientists have come a long way in understanding how and when people come around to a different point of view. What exactly happens when we change our mind? Pursuing this question is how I found myself one recent morning lying in a fancy brain scanner known as an fMRI machine and watching cartoons at the Weizmann Center at the University of Wisconsin in Madison. On the other side of a glass screen, a technician and two neuroscientists watch me, or more accurately, watch my brain. You can read the rest of this story with a link in today's newsletter. My comment, do the scientists know something about persuasion that I don't? How can I trust them? See two stories above. Here's the top three stories from Thursday's JLN. Our most read story Thursday was Reuters' exclusive U.S. SEC opens inquiry into Wall Street Bank's staff communications sources. Second was Bitcoin fans flock to the futures market from the Wall Street Journal. Third was JLN's analysis, what can we learn from the DOJ's latest spoofing conviction, a guest column from Renato Mariotti and Holly Campbell of Thompson Colburn's White Collar Defense and Investigations Group, which was our top story Wednesday. This podcast is sponsored by our friends at Eurex. Visit Eurex.com to learn more about trading MSCI derivatives. Thank you for listening to the John Lothian News Daily Update. Please consider telling a friend about our podcast. And if you haven't yet, please write a review on Apple Podcasts. This helps new listeners find us. Also, if you aren't already a John Lothian newsletter subscriber, you can get a free 90-day trial at johnlothiannews.com/trial. Have a great day and stay safe and treat people the same way you want to be treated, with respect, equality, and justice. This has been John Lothian. Goodbye.